Hey, this is Kaylee Moore.
And this is Paul Jarvis.
Welcome to the Creative Class Podcast.
A podcast for freelancers.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Check out Zoho Social, the all-in-one social media management platform for freelancers.
Save time scheduling your content and reach the right audience at the best time. Zoho Social is from Zoho.com, a suite of more than 45 products trusted by more than 35 million users.
There's an exclusive 60-day free trial offer for Creative Class listeners. Sign up today on GoZohoSocial.com. So one of the things that people don't talk a lot about when it comes to freelancing is how stressful it can be. And I know that for me, I don't end up talking about how stressed out I am sometimes because I feel guilty. I feel guilty because essentially I sit at home every day, I set my own schedule, I'm in my PJs, I'm hanging out with my dog, I'm cooking whatever I want for lunch. I have this baller schedule. And so it feels greedy and mean and like very inconsiderate for me to complain about stress or just being burned out or like not super happy because I feel like I have this dream job in freelancing. And so I want to talk about stress today. And I want to talk about how to deal with it and how to overcome the different things that are stressful about freelancing and really kind of dig into this topic and talk about the things that not a lot of people are talking about. So tell me a little bit about your stress, Paul. Do you have a lot of stress in your life when it comes to the work you do?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, like when you said you have a baller lifestyle, I picture you hanging out with like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And like, that's just... This is like the best mental picture for you and him ever in my head. I've never even watched that show. It doesn't really seem like a show I want to watch, but just like you hanging out with The Rock. I don't know.
That's basically what's happening every day.
No bad days.
No bad days. Happens. That's right.
Fucking hate that bumper sticker on people's cars. It's like, I know you have a bad day. Or like they honk at you and then I'm like, gotcha.
Yeah, there you go.
I 100% can relate to all of the feels that you just expressed, because it's true. Like when you are your own boss and you get to set basically everything about how your work and your life works, it feels wrong or inconsiderate to be unhappy about certain aspects of it or stressed out about certain aspects of it. Especially when other people have it worse in some regards or in all regards or whatever. But I think the overall thing before we really dig into stress for freelancing is that I don't think it ever does anybody any good to compare hurt or stress. It's a zero-sum game for comparing how much you hurt or how much you stress compared to anybody else. Because everybody's different. Everybody feels things differently. The comparison thing, as far as that goes, I think is not good. But I think as well, we've traded a boss for basically lots of bosses. Mm-hmm. All of our clients are bosses. All of our customers are bosses. Some of them are great bosses. Some of them are awful, awful bosses. I think that there's definitely stress. And I think there's definitely stress because in freelancing, we give ourselves or we create for ourselves more autonomy to like steer our own ships kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we don't have set hours where we get paid a set salary day in, day out, year after year with like paid benefits or contributions to 401ks or RSPs in Canada or any of that stuff. So I feel like there's more weight on our shoulders when we're freelancers. That can definitely lead to more stress. And people are always like, well, was it worse in the beginning? Because I worked for myself for 20 years. And like, yeah, it was. It hasn't gone away. The fear of next month, at least for me, has never gone away. Like, maybe I won't have any work next month. Mm-hmm. That stresses me out. It's been 20 years and I'm still stressed out by that same thing. So what do you do about that now that we've gotten over the fact that it's okay to feel those feels?
So when it comes to handling stress, I think that there are a lot of things that you can do to kind of counterbalance things and to make it easier on yourself. One of the big things I started doing, and this is something I learned after taking the creative class, was if you don't really want to do something, that's a good time to raise your rates or to maybe up your rates just for this one-time project. So if there's something that I don't really want to do, sometimes what I'll do is I'll ask for 25 to 50% more than I would normally charge. And that way there's a really strong financial incentive to doing the project. And it's a good carrot for me to kind of move things forward. I think you kind of call this the FU pricing model, right?
Totally. I will charge more if I don't want to do the work. And what's fun, I don't know if this is the case with you, but like, and for me, it's a double. That's my FU is like, this is going to cost you twice as much because I know it's going to take me twice as long because I can tell that this is not going to be the easiest project or you're not the easiest client or that sort of thing. So for me, it was always double because I'm like, eh, whatever. And it does have less stress involved when it's like, no, I'm getting twice as much as I normally would. So this actually isn't that bad.
Yeah, I think that that makes a lot of sense. And it's the idea that if it isn't a hell yes, then it's a no. That's kind of how you decide what you're going to work on and what's worth it for you.
I think that Derek Sivers first said that it's hell yes or no. I think he might be writing a book with that title. I don't know.
Oh, nice.
But I think that if that doesn't make sense to just raise your rates for every project you don't want to do, if it's every project that you don't want to do, maybe just raise your rates. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just raise your rates. I think the other thing that has always been a problem for me, more so in the beginning, but still, if I'm being honest now, is that with freelancing, when you're not working, you're not making money. So if you just keep working more, you just keep like, oh, now I'm going to have more money like in the bank. So I think that knowing your limits is definitely a good thing because especially in my early 20s, like I would just work 16-hour days because I'm like, if I work 16 hours, I'm going to get paid for 16 hours. So where's the downside other than like burning out and horrible health and all of that? So what do you do to kind of combat that for yourself or to kind of figure out what your limits are and to like work in line with them instead of just going overboard? Or do you work like 23 hours a day, have like a power nap and then get back to it?
Definitely not. There was a time when I had some serious workaholic tendencies, but I've been a lot better about it. And how I've done that is a few things. Number one, I've started keeping regular office hours and I let the client know when they can get a hold of me and when they can't. So setting those boundaries, not only for the client, but also for myself, and not responding to emails after hours or at 2 a.m. when I wake up in the middle of the night and look at my phone, keeps me more sane. And it helps me find a better balance between working hours and non-working hours. The other thing is, if there's times when I'm really busy and I don't want to say no to a project, I have started to do a little bit of hiring extra help to where I will refer projects out or I will bring on a subcontractor to help with a project where maybe I just need like help with a first draft or I need help with a section of a post. Having people that I can turn to for overflow or for really busy times or when I get sick, that's another nice thing that that's for. It's really helpful to have those go-to people who can do a good job and who can help kind of alleviate some of the stress that otherwise would just make me so burned out and so stressed out and so angry.
So you bring up a good point, and I want to just take a slate aside for a second. Freelancers can get sick.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. I feel kind of on the fence with a cold right now. I always feel bad when I get sick. I feel like it's not on my schedule. It's so dumb. But I feel like, oh, it's not on my schedule. I have stuff that I was supposed to be doing. And I feel bad. And my wife is just like, no bullshit about that. She's like, if you're sick, go sit on the fucking couch and lie down mm-hmm. and watch your nerd show for like half a day. And I think you end up getting better faster if you're not just trying to push through mm-hmm. it. At least in my own experience, like if I do just take a day or two to rest, I'm going to be able to come back from like a cold or the flu faster than if I'm just like, I'm just going to push through it. Like what's all of the DayQuil that I can take
mm-hmm.
and just try to push. And then you can't really even think when you're taking that stuff anymore. Or at least I can't.
Me either.
So yeah, I just think that it's okay. And like one time I got H1N1 when that like swine flu or whatever. I was sick and fevered for like a month. And this was like in the height of when I was doing freelance work, charging a lot and everything like that. This was when I lived in Vancouver. So this was quite a few years ago, but like I couldn't get up. So that's the only time I'd gotten so sick that I couldn't do that. And I ended up just having to talk to all my clients and like, hey, look, I would love to meet this deadline. I can't right now. We can either pause the project if you'd like, or like you were talking about earlier, I can refer you to somebody else who's going to be able to do the work for you. I'm sorry that I put you in this position, but I had no control over this.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you like to do? Nobody got mad. Nobody was upset.
Yeah.
Most of them were just like, oh, that sucks. You got this stupid illness. It was really going around at the time for some reason. I watched all of Battlestar Galactica, like start to finish. Such a good show. I watched it from start to finish. And there's, I don't know how many seasons. Like there's even a Portlandia skit about like how long it takes. Yeah,
that's
about
so
how
funny.
Long it takes to watch it. But I watched the whole thing. So I think that it's okay to get sick and it's not the end of the world, but you do have to be honest with your client. It's just like any deadline. If you're not going to make a deadline, it's easier to get in front of it than to just put your head in the sand and hope the client doesn't notice, because then the client's going to get mad.
Yeah.
That's my aside for getting sick, because it stresses me out when I get sick.
Yeah. And most of the time, if you're a freelancer, it's just you. You don't have a team. You don't have people you can turn to say, hey, can you fill in for me today? It's all you. So I think that also is kind of why it's so important to build time off into your schedule so that you do have those periods of rest or mental reset time where you get to have a recharge period. And that helps prevent some of that sickness sometimes, because you're not just constantly grinding and working and hashtag hustle and hashtag growth hacking, you know, all that stuff we don't like. It's about saying, okay, like you, for example, you have time every year that I think around Christmas time or in December, if you don't celebrate Christmas, that you take time off every year. And that's just part of your schedule. I think that's so healthy and so smart.
Thank you. Yeah, I do it in the summer for about a month and in the holiday season for about a month and a half. Yeah. And it's never as big of a deal as I thought it is, because there's always advance notice. So what do you do? Because I know you travel.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do in terms of taking time off? How do you deal with that when you're working with clients or booking clients? What do you do?
Yeah, so for me, I just try to give as much advance notice as I can. I usually don't build it into my own schedule that much. It's usually based off of when my husband has time off, because he does work a full-time job. So having things that I put on the calendar and then giving clients notice for helps me literally schedule it in. Because if I don't schedule it in, I'll just keep working. So even if it's based off of my husband being like, hey, let's go to Nashville this weekend for a long weekend, or thinking ahead to we're going to take a trip over to Europe in May, having those things where I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to be gone, and I'm really going to take this time off and really just mentally committing to it first is kind of the first hurdle for me and really helps me do it and commit.
How do you manage social media without it taking up all your time? You're creating, you're curating, you're sharing great content on social media.
But how do you get the attention and reach your content deserves and engage your audience across multiple channels?
Try Zoho Social, the all-in-one social media management platform for freelancers.
Save time scheduling your content and reach the right audience at the best time. Zoho Social is from Zoho.com, a suite of more than 45 products trusted by more than 35 million users.
There's an exclusive 60-day free trial for Creative Class listeners, so sign up today at GoZohoSocial.com. And so I think that's a good bridge to what I want to talk about next, is you said that you actually add time off to your calendar like you would a client project. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important, because if things aren't on your calendar, they're not going to happen or you're going to forget.
Mm-hmm.
So even for me, having yoga on my calendar makes me know that, okay, well, it's yoga time now. I'm not going to schedule a call or a meeting or something else. Mm-hmm. I know that this is the time during my day where I'm going to be doing something, or like gym time. It's on my calendar. So I know that it's going to happen, and I know that I've carved out the space for it. Otherwise, I'm just going to, like, being honest, like, I'm just going to work through it. I'm just going to be like, oh, well, it's supposed to be yoga, but like, I got stuff to do. But like, if I get that calendar notification, I'm like, ooh, legit.
Yeah.
I must go do yoga now.
I know, you have to pencil it in. I think it's important to have lots of different outlets for stress too. I just recently, in the past couple years, started going to a therapist, which is helpful for just having somebody to offload mental things onto that's not a friend or a spouse or a parent.
Totally.
And so I think that that's a big thing. I also do yoga. I've tried a little bit of meditation, and that's kind of built into the yoga practice a little bit. But what other kinds of things do you do to work through some of that stress and kind of as an outlet for it?
Yeah, I think the main thing is not having work be all there is. And I say that because for many years it was. for many years for me, my life was basically just work. And that wasn't super healthy. And so I think having other things in your life that you can look forward to, like travel, like we were talking about, not like being sick. Nobody looks forward to that. But like maybe it's doing yoga or something like that. There's a study done by Harvard. You know it's legit. It's the Harvard School of Public Health. It sounds fancy. So they found that one, and I know you're going to love this, 47% of Americans find stress relief from animal companionship.
Yes.
Who, like, that seems like, duh.
Get yourself a pet, people.
Get yourself all the pets. Go adopt. Is it called the SPCA in the United States?
I think it's ASPCA or something like that.
Yeah, so something like that. Go adopt all the pets. Just walk in there, say, I would like one of everything, and then leave.
There you go.
With all of them. So like almost half of people say that they find stress relief from animal companionship. I know I do. Some of the other things from that same study that help reduce stress is time with family, friends, regular meditation or prayer, healthy eating, exercise, hobbies, time off, paying someone else to handle household chores if it's available, and then finally sleep. Mm. I put sleep last in that list because I want to talk about sleep a little bit because I was really bad at, it's going to sound so dumb, I was really bad at scheduling sleep for a long time. And then I realized that the better night's sleep I get, the more productive I can be during the day. Same with exercise. Like if I don't work out and take care of my body's not going to take care of me and I'm not going to be able to work as well as I could, right? Yeah. Like how do you kind of approach sleep then?
I'm still not a good sleeper. I wish that I was, but I'm a pretty terrible sleeper. So I have a sleep routine now, thanks to some encouragement from my husband. We have a whole process that I go through at night where the lights go off at a certain time, no more cell phone. I start doing like a wind down. Usually I watch like a Nova program or something on PBS or like a history documentary, something like that. Something that's not
the
super
least
entertaining
excitable network.
So my brain can focus on that instead of thinking through a storyline or something. And then I sometimes take like a melatonin gummy, things like that. But I am 100% on the same page that when I get 8 hours of sleep during the night, the next day I'm way more productive than if I slept poorly and maybe only got 5 or 6 hours. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I think having a routine for getting to sleep is important. And I'm the same. Like I stop looking at my phone at a certain time. I like to read for about an hour because I find that winds me down a lot better than watching TV, even if it's like PBS or Nova. Still reading winds me down a lot. Plus, I like reading. I've tried melatonin and it did the opposite. Mm. It made me super tired during, I was probably taking it wrong or something. I don't know, but it messed my sleep schedule up for a while. So I'm just like, no. I do sometimes do a hops tea, like instead of brewing beer with the hops that I grow, like I'll dry them and make a tea. My wife went to school for Western herbal medicine. So there's a bunch of like, we call them sleepy teas. I don't know what's in them. She knows what's in them, but they do a pretty good job of just kind of relaxing because I think that that's important. I tried the, what's it called? Like night mode on the Mac where your screen gets like progressively more and more yellow. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to calm you down. But for me, I hate the way that it looks. It just makes me more and more want to turn my computer off. So I don't think that that's the intended reason for it, but it works for me. I think the other thing that I found in terms of even stress is eating for me. I find that my body and brain react differently to different types of foods. So for probably about a month and a half, a few years ago, I kept a food journal of like what I ate and how I felt and how productive I was after eating those things at 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, something like that. And that's why I cut out gluten to start. And then that's also why I cut, this was a while ago because I've been vegan for a while. So that was also why I cut out dairy. So I realized when I was eating those two things, I was feeling really foggy and cloudy and jittery. So funnily enough, coffee doesn't do that to me. Maybe it's just I'm willing myself to not feel any negative reactions when I have a coffee. But I definitely, keeping a food journal for me was huge in terms of seeing like, am I more stressed out when I eat certain things or if I don't get as much sleep or that sort of thing? So kind of taking note and notice of the things that stress you out and of the things that make you less stressed, I think can be huge.
Yeah, definitely. I think the other thing is you have to be done at a certain point with working. there has to be a point when you officially stop checking email. You get off the scrolling hamster wheel, looking through Instagram or Twitter or whatever. You really have to have a hard line where you allow your brain to disconnect from the screens. And like you said, reading is a great way to do that. Go for a walk, like get some time outside, go spend time with other people. Again, really building those things into your schedule feels stupid and feels weird, but it's really helpful. I think you and I have both experienced that firsthand.
Yeah. I don't have my phone near me when I sleep, but I still even turn it to airplane and do not disturb mode when I sleep, even if it's in the other room. I just feel like that to me, my brain is telling me like, okay, it's time to go to sleep. For some reason, it has that voice when it talks to me. I don't know why. But like, that's part of the routine of like, okay, now it's time for bed. Like it should almost be like a little kid song in my head. Like now it's time to go to sleep. Turn your phone to do not disturb in airplane mode. I don't know where I'm going with that. But like, it's like part of my brain shutdown process is like to start doing that. And I think you have the same as well. Like at your house, you have a separate room for where you work out of.
Yes.
Yeah. And so do you like clock out of that room at a certain time every day or almost about the same time every day?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that that's nice too. It's really hard to live and work in the same space, especially in the winter when my house is about 1,000 square feet. It's not a lot of room to exist within 24 hours a day. So having a space that's designated just for work, I think helps, again, like a physical boundary, establish that.
Yeah, I have the same. And even when I didn't, like I've lived in studio apartments, I just got like one of those room divide, like the $15 at IKEA, where I could just like put the room divider around my desk and like, hey, I'm done. Just a little mental thing where it's just like, okay, now it's time to shut down, to stop, to not be thinking of work anymore.
Yep.
So unless you have anything else, I have one final funny thing to help deal with stress.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So there was a study done, and it's such a British thing. And I can say this because my family are all British. But when all else fails, if you're stressed out, just put the kettle on. And I mean, that's to have a cup of tea. That's technically the solution in England for everything. But I know you like tea. I love tea.
Yes.
But there's nothing better than like a cup of tea when you're stressed out. And research suggests that there's actually truth in the belief that tea helps with everything. So drinking a cup of tea can actually help reduce stress by 54%, according to a study done at the University of Sussex. So like, you know, it's legit. And I think, I don't even know if it's the specific drinking of the tea and consuming the herbal constituents of the tea. I think it's more that when we step away sometimes when we're stressed out, it helps. We get great ideas like when we're in the shower or out for a walk. When we kind of disconnect from the thing we're doing and just focus on something else that's slower and more mindful, even if it's just for 5 minutes, putting on the kettle, waiting for it to boil, brewing the tea, adding a little bit of maple syrup, if you're me, because maple syrup is good in everything. So I think that just like taking that break from what you're doing can ultimately help bring things back to a less stressed mindset.
Definitely. It's a little piece of self-care too. I feel like you always have somebody saying, can I get you a cup of tea or do you like a cup of coffee? It's very much like a calming, welcoming, like taking care of someone gesture to do. So if you can do that for yourself and pause and take a moment to do that, in a way, it's like a mental reset.
What's your favorite tea? Just out of curiosity.
Ooh, I really love Earl Grey.
I like Earl Grey a lot too. I think that's probably, there's one from a hotel called the Empress in Victoria, British Columbia, that has the best English tea. Mm. And they have an Earl Grey and a breakfast, which has a bit more like orange pekoe in it. Mm-hmm. Those are such a, you know, you're a bit of a tea nerd when. But yeah, I think this was a good topic to discuss stress and freelancing, because I think that a lot of us feel it. And like you said in the very beginning, a lot of us feel it, but then feel bad about feeling it because we work for ourselves. And shouldn't we be better at working for ourselves? But I don't think that that's the case at all. I think that it's okay to work for yourself and be stressed out sometimes and want to actively deal with it and make things a bit better.
I agree.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast.
If you enjoyed it, please take a second to leave a review over on iTunes.
And be sure to check out our course, The Creative Class.
You can find it at creativeclass.co, which is creativeclass.co.